So, we are starting a series this term, teaching series, called Being Church in the 21st Century. I love the church. If I think about the global church, and I just think about churches, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of churches, big ones, small ones, weird ones, cool ones, kooky ones, conservative ones, crazy ones, you know, just in all different shapes and sizes, representing all the different shapes and sizes of people. I just think it's glorious. They're all doing their little part in bringing God's kingdom, establishing in towns and cities places of worship and prayer and the presence of God. They're loving the poor and serving their communities and being entrepreneurial and figuring out, hey, this is how we could bless our town or our region. Those churches, thousands upon thousands of them, they're changing lives as they introduce people to Jesus, and you know, his inward grace, you know, ministers to people for the first time and for the thousandth time, comes and just changes us, changes people from the inside. They're places of care, of belonging for all. They're places where, you know, just normal people like you and me are trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and walk in a renewed or an ultimate version of what it means to be human, which is to walk as a son or daughter of the King and operate in power. They're places of equipping where people are inspired, they're encouraged, and they're sent out to go into their workplaces and into government and into hospitals and, you know, you name it. People are sent out all over the world from churches to do good and to bring about good and to do God's work, good work, and bring life and light and freedom and the kingdom of God and all that represents. It's wonderful. Little local churches just all over the place. And it's a funny old business, the church. You know, on one level, it's glorious. On another level, it comes with a whole bunch of frustrations and pains and just difficult things to wrestle with and problems. And this term, we're just going to be looking at it, really, this thing called church. What does it mean to be church? And today we're starting with the topic of church as family. So I'm going to start by doing a little bit of a theological dump. And I'd like you to keep your brain switched on, and we'll hit that, and then we'll do some kind of questions and some reflections. We'll get onto that. So I'd like you all to think, what does this mean for us? And at the end, I'm going to do a questions and say, okay, so what does this mean for us? So I'm expecting you to come up with some answers to this question, okay? So some theological points. Within the Trinity, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all secure, completely secure, in who they are and their distinct roles, which they come to bring. And they operate in love for one another, honouring one another, and no competitiveness. There's distinction there as well. Next point. The Bible starts with a marriage. Jesus' first miracle is a wedding. The Bible ends with a marriage. Revelation. Next point. Jesus came to reveal God as Father. It's one of the main things he came to do. He came to do a lot, but he came to reveal God as Father. I said it a number of times. History was changed when he said the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. He should have said my Father, but he said our Father, saying, hey, come on, guys, you can all know him as Dad. It's amazing. There's also a key New Testament principle, which is that we are all children of God. Galatians 3:26, the beginning of John, 1 John 3:2, says we in a line, we are children of God. Next point, we are to love one another. John 13:35, Jesus commands his disciples, this is how the world, you will know my disciples, that we love one another. I know this is a lot. Everyone's still with me? Think, what does this mean for us? 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Matthew 12, this is the last one. 49-50. People say to Jesus, your family's outside, stretching out his hands towards his disciples. He says, here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my sister and my brother. So, potentially that's a bit too much to take in. I'm aware of that. And given the reading of Romans, all that information, what jumps out to people? What does all that information mean to us? Sorry? Family? I've said church is family is the topic of today. Why do you think it's family? Come on. It's good. What else? Roger?
Commitment.
That's right. Yep. Stronger together as a team than separate. Yeah, absolutely. Romans 12, you know, we're the body. We're joined in. Each just has a distinct role. John? It's a radical construct. In what way? Very good. Sheila? When we're doing stuff, we're not doing it on behalf of ourselves, but of God as well. Ali? It all comes down to love. Come on. Love everyone we meet. Any other thoughts? Anything interesting people felt like jumped out at them? Anthea? Is it worth saying that with our distinct roles and the call to love one another, actually it's very quite a difficult thing to do. It's easier said than done, and actually we're empowered to do it by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, begins and ends in celebrations. God loves celebrations. Pete? Yeah, family's very messy. I think it's right that we expect church to be messy. So we start as I, we're drawn into the family of God, and it becomes a we. Si? So if we're one with God, we're one with each other, mystically, whether or not we like it or not. But if we're not one with God, then what did you say? Sure. So if the upwards thing is struggling, so does the sideways thing that struggles. So something about celebration of, I don't know how to say that, Paul. Yeah, something about marriage actually being a covenant and Christ's covenant with the church. Something about like the covenant, the commitment, long-term commitment, no matter what, between God and us. You better be into forgiveness. Absolutely. That's fantastic. I mean, that's great. I mean, I basically drew out, actually, for us as a Christian community, the Bible paints a picture of closeness, that actually in church, you know, just having Christian acquaintances isn't enough. Actually, the Bible is calling us to actually deep relationships, closeness. You know, words like, you know, I'm a father to you, I'm a brother to you, I'm a son, you know, I'm married to you. There's you know, those kind of words, be devoted to one another in love, that they speak of closeness, not just, oh, hey, you know, I say hi to you at church. There's something deeper that actually God's calling us to. Commitment to one another through thick and thin. We're one body, whether we like it or not. Serving one another, sacrificing for one another. Relationships are important. For me, I quite like projects. I quite like tasks. I'm quite quite a task focused person. I'm quite focused on the mission of God. I'm very focused on, all right, how are we going to reach this town? This is the mission. How are we going to do it? You know, I'm quite blinkered, and I have to be quite intentional to go, actually, you know what? I just want to hang out with my mates. I'm going to be relational. Because relationships are important. They're important. We have to value them. I think, lastly, the Bible clearly paints a picture of family, us being children of God, and, you know, all that's already been said. Actually, you know what? What does family mean? It means that we're united by Christ. We're not united by agreeing with one another. And that's really important for us. That actually, within this room, there are going to be a whole bunch of different beliefs on things, things that we disagree with, maybe fundamentally. And you know what? That's okay, because we're not united by theology. We're united because we're grafted into Christ and we honour Christ in one another. And so we have to live as in the same way with in family relationships. You live with tensions, but you're committed to one another. That's what we need to do as a Christian community. We commit to Christ in one another rather than committing to, right, I'm going to, you know, be in relationship with you until I find something that we disagree with, and then we have to part. We have to push through that. Question: what are some of the challenges for us as a church family? So we've said all these things, these nice things about church family and celebration, all that kind of stuff. Actually, in reality, what are some of the challenges? Time. Yeah. I mean, a challenge that I face personally is that, you know, there are 100 people in the room right now, and you just don't have time to go deep with everyone. And so you can have maybe very, very shallow relationships with everyone, or you've got to choose, you know, a tight-knit three that you go deep with maybe. That's a challenge, just figuring out how to do that. What does that look like? What does it look like for us as a community when we're trying to build deep, meaningful, journeying relationships, and then new people are joining us? And how do we not be cliquey and integrate new people into just genuinely, you know, exciting, God-loving relationships? That's a challenge. It's just a time one. Resource of money. In what way? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Resource and money. And for me, I think, you know, one challenge is the fact that we're a very informal group. You know, we're committed together because we love Jesus and we want to be all that kind of stuff. But we operate within formal structures. You know, so the fact that we have, you know, we put on a meeting like this each week means that you have to create a whole bunch of systems and rotas, and there's expectations on people. And then, you know, we become a charity once we've outgrown homes and start meeting in schools, and then you need HR and you need to start employing people, and then you bring a whole bunch of formal structures, and that for me clashes at a fundamental level. But I don't know what to do with that. Informal, we just love one another, but at the same time we've got formal structures in place in what is at its core a voluntary organization. Interesting dynamic. Any other challenges to being church's family? So 80-20 rule, 20% of people doing the majority of the work. How do we get everyone doing stuff? Yeah. It's not always easy to love people because people aren't perfect. And like we say, it's messy and some people are really prickly. We need to love them. Any other thoughts on the challenges? Yeah. Yeah. All the spectrum of different people in this room. Oh, well, I like this kind of song. I like this kind of talk. I want more family stuff. I want more worship and revival stuff. Why aren't the bodies on the floor every meeting? Why isn't there more theology and preaching of the word? You know, it's everyone likes different stuff. We muddle through together. Some of the challenges of the fact that we're just people. All right, good stuff. As leader of the church, I feel like the last few years we have focused, and I believe rightly so, on the mission. I've used a phrase over the last few years, taken from the film The Incredibles, that we are a family on a mission. So in the film The Incredibles, it was a Disney Pixar film that came out a few years, this great superhero family, and it was just a really interesting dynamic in that they all had individual powers and skills, and yet they were a family. So they had to do family stuff, they had to, you know, love one another and communicate and eat together and just care for one another. But then at the very end of the film, they all used their individual powers to like fight the baddie. And I just thought, this is a great picture of the church, and that actually we've got this mission, and we need to, you know, the presence of God is within us and needs to get out, and we all need to do it using our individual talents and gifts and stuff, but we also need to be a family. And we just have the mission but not the family, then that's not right. If we just have the family and not the mission, then that's not right either. So I felt like this phrase, family on a mission, was helpful for us. And I think we focus quite a lot on the mission over the last few years. You know, we've put a whole bunch of things in place: messy church, healing rooms, Love Marlow, the youth clubs, and all that kind of all that kind of stuff. And I feel like now we need to go into a time of actually really focusing on the family side of things. So this year we're going to be looking at really investing in our small groups, our pastoral care, family gatherings, and especially our youth work. So those are some of the things which, as a leader, I'm saying we've had a time of mission. Now it's time that we have more time as family. I think that's really important for us. Phil, I've asked Phil to help us a little bit with this.
Yeah, what Dave has asked me. What did you ask me? Church glue, he said. And glue is, it's not necessarily about being stuck. That's not where I'd like you to be. Church glue is more about making everybody welcome. It's about you having a sense of belonging. It's about you having a sense of being supported. It's about you having a sense of being loved. And so in order to try and encourage some of those things, I've been tasked with putting together some activities to get us along our way. And we've just been talking about how different we are, and for sure we are all different. And I was just thinking about marriage because we're talking about it. And, of course, marriage is the joining together of two individuals who are usually quite different. And the bringing together of people that are different requires a focus. And of course, for us, the focus is God. And so it's important, whatever we do, that we remember that it's because of God and the work of Jesus that we're here and doing it together. For me, I guess my wish would be that everybody would be part of a home group. The beauty to me of home groups is that we don't have to try and engage with 100 people at a time. We are in smaller groups. We can be a bit deeper. We all have so much to give as individuals, and it's important that we learn that, you know, we have a lot to offer and to give as an individual, and home groups are a fantastic place for that, for both giving and also the opportunity to receive in a bit more of a personal environment. So firstly, home group, I think I'd love everyone to be involved with home group. If you want to know more about home groups, talk to me, talk to Dave, talk to Chris. But yeah, for sure, home groups I think are an important part of it. Secondly, there's a number of activities we'll try and introduce. We've had a bit of a go at Come Dine With Me. We had a false start at the end of last year, so we're just starting one for this period of April through June, July. We'll only do one in the year. The other things we've got planned, we're going to start a monthly table tennis stroke lunch after church event. That's to keep Jack happy. We'll plan a few church lunches. I think the first one be May. This is church with everyone together over at the youth club, just 100 metres away from here. Possibly a ramble in the summer rather than in the youth centre. We've got quiz nights in mind. Maybe people like going to the dogs or the horses. We could arrange things like that. But I think there's a lot of skills in the room, and I'd like to have things like, I don't know, we could have painting, we could have photography, we could have all sorts of things. So I want to say, if anybody's got something that they're passionate about and they've got skills in, can you come and talk to me? Because we can have little courses we can run in the evenings, could be during the day, could be whatever it is. But I think there's a lot that we can do together. This year we have Riverfest. I'm not here to advertise that, but I'm sure someone can. But so next year what we'll do just for the Marlow congregation is arrange a weekend away. So we won't do it this year, we'll clash with Riverfest, but when we don't, in the year we don't have Riverfest, we'll try and do a weekend away together. So I guess I just want to say, learn to love yourself, join in and have fun. A lot of the things I've mentioned have food related to them, so I have got a verse to justify that. Following on from Sheila, so I'll leave you with that. Just before, as I go, I've got this board here which is Come Dine With Me. Come Dine With Me, I presume everybody roughly knows what it's about, but basically we're normally talking about six people eating together, somebody hosting. You don't have to host. You can host in a coffee shop if you'd rather, but it's about meeting other people. So if you want to sign up for it, I'll pass this round. Some have already signed up. You'll see how to fill it in. Put your name on there, and next weekend, stroke the Monday, we'll then put all the groups together and send an email out to everybody and tell you where you're hosting or where you're being hosted. That's it. Thank you.
Great work, Phil. Right, I'm not going to take up too much of anyone's time, but what I would like everyone to do is either get into pairs or feel free to process this as an individual. So if you are someone who prefers talking things through with people, then do it in a pair. If you're someone who prefers processing more introvertly, then do this individually. I'm a product of this church. I'm a product of the family of this church. And over the years, one of the biggest things that I've experienced is three layers of relationship which have brought me so much growth spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, just growing in you know, internal strength. There's been three layers of relationship. One layer is having what I've seen as spiritual fathers and mothers. So people who have just inputted into me and just believed in me and said, Dave, you know, keep going. I think you're fantastic and here's some advice or whatever. I don't think it has to be an age thing, you know. If you're one of the older states people in the congregation, I don't think that means that you can't have spiritual father and mother figures in your life. The second layer of relationship, which has been absolutely fantastic, has been peers. Just people who you're just running alongside with, and you're cheering one another on, saying, "Hey, come on, let's go for it, let's do this thing together," and you know your peers. And then second, and then thirdly, is actually people who you know you see as spiritual sons or daughters, people who you invest in and go, "You know what? I really see the potential in you, and I want to cheer you along." And again, it doesn't necessarily need to be what's the word? Age specific, there we go. And also, I think the key thing is it doesn't need to be, you know, within your family. It's about people just in the church. And I would love it if everyone in our church had those three levels of relationship as church family, that all of us were thinking, actually, who are the spiritual mothers and fathers in my life? And actually, do I need to reinvest in those? Who are the peers, spiritual peers in my life? Might not be in this church, might be elsewhere. Who are the sons and daughters? I would love it if all of us as church family invested in those three layers. So what I'd like you to do, either by yourself or in pairs, is answer the following questions. And then we'll finish. Okay? Question one. On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you assess the quality of your relationship with spiritual fathers and mothers? That's question one. Sorry, 1 being not great, 5 being great. It's okay if this is in flux. You know, I've looked at this and I've said recently as I planned this, and I thought, actually, you know, some things I want to look at in my own life here. So this is the question. So it's the first one to either process internally or discuss. Write down on your phone if you want to think about it afterwards. Question again is, on a scale of 1 to 5, how would you assess the quality of your relationships with spiritual father or mother figures? On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you assess the quality of your relationship with father or mother figures? There's 2 more questions, which are the same question, but with, instead of father and mother figures, peers, and the third level, sons and daughters. So you may be in the room, you think, actually, I'm not interested in spiritual father, mother figure. I just don't think I need that at this time. But actually, what you may need to invest in is actually, you know what, I want to invest in my friendships with some peers or the younger generation. It's not anyone. This is about our spiritual walk today. If you've answered those three questions, the next question is, what could be the reason why there may be a weak connection? If you've scored lowly, and you think, actually, I've got a really low, you know, I've scored a 1 on my relationship, strength of my relationship with peers, what could be the reason for that? And what could be the steps that you put in place to strengthen that? End of discussion. I'd like to leave you with that. For me, I'd like to just say one word, and that word is intentionality, being intentional. My walk you know, me saying I'm a product of River Church and I've had these great relationships, actually they haven't just happened. At times they've taken, you know, with some of my friends, I've gone, you know what, I really value our friendship and I want to be intentional in investing in this relationship. I want it to go deeper. I want us to make sure that we connect on a regular basis and that our friendship doesn't slip and that actually we go deeper and we challenge one another as iron sharpens iron. It takes intentionality sometimes. These things don't just happen. Is that okay? Let me pray. Let's put our hand on our hearts. Father, I want to pray for a healing of our hearts. For some of us, there'll be really deep pains when we think about relationships with spiritual fathers or mothers. For some of us, there'll be pains when we think about relationships that have struggled or broken with spiritual peers. And for some of us, there'll be real pains when we think about, you know, some of our spiritual sons and daughters. And I just ask that you just come, Lord Jesus, and you just heal some of those wounds in our hearts around these areas. And you just give us fresh hope, fresh vision or passion or fresh love for the people in our lives. Just ask that you show us those relationships you want us to develop and invest in. And as we explore this topic of church together, I ask that you'd help us, Lord God, to be a good family. Amen.